Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome to the last 1 hour live on air, because as I mentioned to Dave just before he signed off, next week we start in our new time, which will be an hour later. That will be at 7 p.m. and we go for 2 hours. So 7 to 9 each Wednesday live on air. And we're doing that because there's a little bit of a rejig with the schedule. But it's also something that we were looking at because our third anniversary is coming up at the end of April. So certainly looking forward to doing 2 hours with you. And I hope that you can join me for the alternative time between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. here on Talk Radio Europe, as in from next week. But it is just after 6 o'clock right now. And we do have just an hour today. So less of the old gabbing and more of telling you what's happening. Mary Connolly O'Sullivan has a lovely soprano voice. She will be talking to me about her life and about her music, and we'll be hearing some of that music as well. So something to look forward to. Something else to look forward to, it's all the ladies today. Patricia Traynor joins us today, and Patricia will be talking to us about yet another Irish person who has had a huge impact on parts of Latin America. And today we're looking at somebody who's impacted hugely on the country of Ecuador. So that's coming up as well. Foster and Allen are featured artists on the programme this evening, and we'll have music from the charts on this day back in 1966, the number one song in Ireland all of those years ago. So that would be what, 55 years ago, and you'll hear a lovely song from a fine group actually that were at number one. As always, if you would like to get involved in the programme, I would love to hear from you. You can send a WhatsApp message if you'd like to +34 645 99 67 95, or you can send an email to studio@tre.radio. Now don't forget, my own email is also operational, ger@tre.radio, and that operates 24/7. Can I say thanks to Frank Sadlier as well? It's nice to hear from people that I hear from regularly. Please keep the correspondence coming. But it's nice to hear from people that I didn't even know existed. And Frank is one of those, because he wrote to me over the weekend. I think the letter arrived. He's a fellow Limerick man, and tells me that Live on Era, and I'm not sure about TRE, but Live on Era certainly was a lockdown find, he said. So anyway, Frank, good to know that you're there. Glad to know that you're enjoying the programme. And indeed, I'm happy to know that I know some of your kin. Yeah, back in Limerick, he mentioned particularly a man that I would have known from RTE in Limerick, a man by the name of Jim Sadlier. He was the man that pressed the buttons and did all the engineering work in RTE in Limerick, an absolute gentleman. And I had the pleasure of working with him on a few occasions, and I would have bought fish and other bits and pieces from Sadlier's well-known shop on Roches Street in Limerick as well. So there you have it. It's amazing the way memories can be sparked, isn't it? Right, let's start music-wise, shall we? Yeah, we have music, two tracks from our featured artist on the programme this week. As I said, it's music from Foster and Allen.
And it's so dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. And the first old lady was Jennifer Pym. She just went in on a personal whim, when she somehow got caught between the seat and the rim, and nobody knew she was there. And it's so dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. And the next old lady, it was Mrs. Draper. She went inside, but she couldn't find paper, and all she could get was a bricklayer scraper, and nobody knew she was there. And it's so dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there
From Sunday to Saturday, nobody knew they were there.
And the next old lady, it was Mrs. Humphrey. She went inside and arranged herself comfy. When she tried to get up, she couldn't pull her bum free, and nobody knew she was there.
And it's, oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
And the fourth old lady was Chichester's daughter. She went to pass some superfluous water, but when she sat down, the rising tide caught her, and nobody knew she was covered all over.
And oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
And the fifth old lady was delicate Brenda. She went inside to adjust her suspender, when she somehow got caught in the masculine gender, 'cause she didn't know I was there.
And it's, oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
Margaret, she paid her penny and inside she darted, but that was a waste when she only, and nobody knew she was there.
And it's, oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
And the last old lady, it was Mrs. Mason. She couldn't get in, so she used the hand basin, and that was the water that I washed me face in, 'cause I didn't know she was there.
And it's, oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies got locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. Nobody knew they were there.
There you go, Foster and Alan, the featured artists on the programme today. We'll have a second track from them before 7 o'clock, and that's called Seven Old Ladies. Nice track it is too. A funny old track, I suppose, is what you could call it. It's been a funny old week because we've been building up to an announcement that came from on Taoiseach Micheál Martin last evening, and we were all trying to anticipate what exactly was going to be announced by way of trying to open up the country again. Many of us, including me, hoping that we could all be golfing from 8 o'clock this morning, or indeed maybe from next week. But unfortunately, that's been delayed until the 26th of April. But other things have happened, and indeed in the sporting world, the GAA have said today that they will finalise competition structures and dates for the 2021 inter-county season by the end of next week, following yesterday's government announcement. Collective senior inter-county training is permitted to resume from the 19th of April, and it is expected that a regionalised national league will begin in mid to late May. But in a letter to club and county secretaries last night, GAA President Larry McCarthy and Director General Tom Ryan did not offer any indication of when the leagues and championships will kick off. They also warned that counties who resume training early will be punished and potentially put the return to play in serious jeopardy. With clubs in Northern Ireland permitted to return to training on the 12th of April, counties by law could also train. But Croke Park has stressed that the need to comply with the collective training ban from counties in the north and south. Those are hugely welcome developments, and that was what they were referring to was what the Taoiseach announced last night. And the letter said allows us finally to begin planning on-field activities activity for the remainder of 2021. However, the letter continued, it should also be noted that those dates are conditional and will very much depend on what happens in terms of the overall COVID-19 picture in the coming weeks. For that reason, it is more important than ever that the collective training sessions are held between now and the government indicated return dates. Sorry, no collective, that should be. Breaches of or in this context will not only be dealt with under our own rules, but would also likely put the broader plan to return to activity in serious jeopardy. So there we go. Good news on the horizon. Obviously, as I said, and as you heard there, conditional on everybody, pardon the pun, playing ball, as they say. Right, I'm going to do a quick break. Come back to me just after that. And we're going to hear from Mary Cullity O'Sullivan. Lovely soprano voice, great entertainer. And we'll find out a little bit about her, about her singing. And we'll hear her voice in the second part of the programme.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Ireland, as you probably know, is dotted with very talented people, whether it is writers or whether it is poets, which are writers as well, could be singers, could be songwriters, people that can dance, people can do all sorts of talented things. And it's nice to come across people from time to time unexpectedly. And the next lady I'm going to talk to is one of those people who just happened to drop me a line about something. And I said, hang on a second. So let me say hello to Mary Cullity O'Sullivan from the Kingdom County, County Kerry. Mary, good to talk to you and welcome to the programme.
Hi, Ger. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. Delighted to. it's always nice to come across fresh talent and be able to promote people and let listeners know who's out there, what they're doing, why they're doing it, how long they're at it, and how good they're at it as well. So it's nice.
Thank you.
How long are you singing, Mary?
Oh, I'm singing all my life, Ger. A long, long time. I suppose since my first time on stage, I was only 9 years old. Would you believe it?
I would, because it's amazing.
Especially in Ireland.
It's amazing, yeah. You see, the great thing about Ireland is there's always an old sing-song at it might be a communion, a confirmation, a birthday party, a Christmas gathering, Easter gathering, or any kind of a gathering. And, of course, there's always, sure, young Mary there now, she's great at sing a song, and there's always...
End up and sing an old song there.
That's right, for granny or granddad or whatever the case might be.
Yes, indeed.
Mary, you're a soprano. When was your voice discovered? When did you know that you were a soprano?
Well, I tell you, I started, would you believe, with Kiltis Kilt Holy Toy Aaron, you know, where you would sing completely unaccompanied in, say, the Shano style. To tell you the truth, I never won anything. I was saying through all the competitions, whatever, we said, oh my God, your voice is too polished.
Right.
So, bearing that in mind, I applied for the Cork School of Music, I think it was called in those days, and I studied with Robert Baer, Bobby Baer, one of, I suppose, Ireland's leading vocal coaches. God have mercy on his soul, I think he passed away last year, but he was truly amazing.
Right.
I was with him for a few years and obviously got the voice trained and hit the high notes. So that's really what a soprano is for anyone that might be sure. It's where you can hit the upper notes of the voice.
I suppose the male equivalent would be a tenor, wouldn't it?
Yes, the male equivalent is a tenor. That's right. Yes.
And how easy is it to train one's voice? Because you obviously have to have a singing voice to start with. And then somebody comes along and has to break that down, I presume, and rebuild it.
Well, first of all, you'd obviously have to be able to sing something back in tune, a couple of notes. And then obviously the breathing is super important, where you would breathe from the diaphragm and standing correctly. I've actually, as well as my performing career, until the pandemic hit, I used to train choirs and coach one-to-one. So really, I suppose, I would know a lot about the breathing and the diaphragm and how you stand and colouring the voice, the louds and softs. All that would be part of training the voice to get it to a certain level.
It is, you know? Because when you say that now, I think about people that I would be familiar with that I would have seen performing or even just watching them on television, and their legs are apart and, you know, their body is held in a particular way and their hands are gesturing in a particular way. So the voice actually comes from all of the body, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. The voice is not just, I always say to people, obviously, the vocal cords obviously are hugely important. Yeah. However, you have to have the whole package. When you stand up, you have to have the feet apart, the hands lightly clasped or even by your side. A great tip for any singer out there is to close the eyes when you're hitting the high notes.
Why?
Because I'll tell you why. When you close your eyes, you get into relaxed mode. you know, the brain associates when you close your eyes with sleep. So the whole body relaxes, and the notes should, once you're using your diaphragm correctly, the notes should hit what they call the head voice, go up through the roof of the mouth and out. So it's a great tip for any singers out there.
Oh, absolutely. It's
now,
a great tip.
There you are.
It is a great tip. Mary, tell us about some of the exploits, or where have you been singing? Where have you performed?
Well, I have performed in the UK. I actually had just started my UK tour when the pandemic took over. I had sung in the Brighton Unitarian Church, which is that beautiful performance space in the heart of Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
So I had just done Solihull. It's not a cathedral, it's just a lovely little church. I had sung there, and then I had been booked to sing in Leeds and Oxford and London and Dublin, and would you believe I've had to defer all those dates,
but
I'm fingers crossed later in the year, or else hopefully 2022. But I'm laughing because I ended up doing a virtual world tour from my kitchen.
Come into the kitchen and travel the world.
Come into the kitchen and sing with Mary. I did New York, Boston, San Francisco, Arizona, London, Canada. I did the lot from my little tiny kitchen with the ball going on.
Now, tell me, when you say you did all those places, did you perform for audiences, or was it one-to-one?
Oh, one-way?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did live stream. I actually made contact with a lot of Irish associations and, you know, Irish Network, for instance, in Seattle. I did a night for them.
Right.
I did a night for the Kerry Association in London, and we raised some money for a few charities as well along the way.
Right.
And I did an Irish place in New York. And basically, I've got a load of people tuned in and, you know, sat back and enjoyed it. When my repertoire really, I suppose, is a mix. For New York, I think I did all Irish. But for other places, the likes of London now, I put in a bit of aria. I sang a few Irish. I would have done one or two love songs. I love John Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to mix it up when I'm performing.
Okay.
And you know,
that was one of my questions that I was about to ask, is that your favorite type, because I know we're going to hear your version of Ave Maria once we've finished speaking. But what's your favorite? What do you love doing?
As I said, I love the mix. But if you pushed me, I love church music. I suppose it would be my strength. You know, like the likes of the Ave Maria, the likes of the Panis Angelicus, that kind of thing. Of course, you know, you have the acoustics in the beautiful churches, and my voice just seems to take off.
That's brilliant.
When I'm singing in church, you know, I love all that. But as I said, with regard to the live streams, I do a mix of genre.
Right.
You know, and people seem to enjoy it. Only for the internet, I don't know what musicians and poets and everyone would have done.
I know.
You know, we are very, very lucky to be in a generation of internet. I know a lot of people give out about it, but I have to say I thoroughly embraced it, you know, and enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you feel weird standing in your kitchen and in the ball gown and singing into your laptop?
Yes, I did for a while. But you know, Cher, when you're singing, I suppose after the first few songs, you kind of just go with the flow.
Okay. And you know? How did you manage accompaniment? Did you have like something with you, or had you headphones in, or did you just sing as you are?
No, I have beautiful backing tracks.
Okay.
You know, I said I do when things were normal, when I would tour, say, I would have my backing track, and my long-suffering husband, Paul, does the sound for me.
Good man, Paul.
Good man. And my son is Paul as well. He's Paul Jr. He did the live, you know, the way you have to do the live part.
Yeah.
He did that. So it was a pure family effort. My daughter then was in the front room doing my own page. So phew, we kind of did it between us all.
And come here, have you neighbours?
Yes, very, very appreciative neighbours that open their windows, and apparently, so they tell me, they enjoy it.
It's a good job they do.
That's what they're telling me anyway.
Tell me about your activities in and around the Killarney area, because that's where you're based. Where do you sing, or do you sing regularly? Are you involved with any associations or societies?
Not really. Okay. I used to sing in the, as I said, I've sung, I did a lovely Christmas evening in our local with a beautiful cathedral here in Killarney, St. Mary's Cathedral.
It's, I know it. Yeah.
And I did a lovely mini, what I would call a mini recital. I think I did about 35 minutes there at Christmas, you know, and put it up online.
Lovely.
And I've sung in the Church of Ireland. Are you familiar with Killarney, are you, Dirk?
I am, relatively, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Church of Ireland is down what I would, it's where the jaunting cars are.
Yes,
you know,
I do.
That lovely
yes.
little church there. I've done a lot of recitals there over the years. And of course, I have made my music video. The Ave Maria music video was made in Killarney by the lakes there. And my new music video, I have my new single actually coming out on Friday, April 9th.
Right.
It's a song I sent you. It's the Shula Grow.
Yes.
I'm actually releasing that as a single. And I have a music video to go with that, which was made actually just the other day outside in Mangerton and Muckross Gardens.
Lovely, lovely spot.
You know, so it's, I'm keeping busy, you know, it's all very positive.
Do you know, I'd say if you got over the shyness, you do really well. Really well. Yeah. tell me about the version of Ave Maria that you have sent to me.
Oh, yes. You know, Ave Maria is fabulous, but it has been done, what I would say, done to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has tried it and done it. So I work with a guy here in Killarney, Tony O'Flaherty. He's out in Sonnet Studios. I don't know if you've heard of him. But anyway, he would be the guy, my go-to guy here.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So I said to him, Tony, I said, I want to do the Ave Maria, but I want something different. I don't want a classical version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat down and he walked out and he pulled out the guitar. And I was, oh, my God, are you going to put the guitar? You know, the way you wouldn't be sure would it work or not.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, it has got such a great reaction. Even the other day, I sent it to a few places, you know, on Facebook where they do the Irish pages.
Yes.
And I sent it off. And, you know, even today I'm getting messages, I'm getting likes, I'm getting a fantastic reaction.
That's brilliant.
To the arrangement.
Lovely.
Lovely.
That's great. It sounds like that the pandemic hasn't slowed you down any, and that you're working your way through it. And I'd say chomping at the bit to get out again, yeah?
Oh, yes, Ger. There's nothing like performing live.
No.
Do you sing yourself? You performer?
Only if we need to clear the room. That's the only reason.
So you're the guy. You're the go-to guy at the end of the night, are you?
I have said this on occasion. I'm on record as saying that, you know, parents are supposed to love and encourage their children. My father told me one time that I had the worst voice that he had ever heard in his life. Because I cannot handle a tune. And in fact, I was sitting with him only 2 weeks ago and we were recounting, and I said, I have told the story publicly that my father, who should be supporting me, has told me this, and he got a great kick out of it. But no, I'm bad. And when I say I'm bad, I'm absolutely beyond saving.
You're
when it comes to singing.
Redemption.
Yeah, and no matter how many Irish whiskies I have in me, I know I cannot sing.
Oh,
right. But anyway, that's fine. Listen, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Mary,
it would be boring if we were all the same.
Before we finish up and listen to that beautiful version of Ave Maria, can I ask you about Killarney? Because I remember one time I was playing golf. I played golf quite a lot in Killarney over the years. But on one particular occasion, there was a kind of an afters after the golf. So I was in a taxi being brought back to the hotel. And the taxi driver was saying, it was obviously a midweek, and I was saying to the taxi driver, God, it's very busy here. And he said, it's busy 7 nights a week in Killarney. And it kind of stuck with me. And no matter when I went to Killarney, it was busy. It must be awful in Killarney not to have the crowds there now, is it?
Oh, it makes me want to weep when I drive to town, because it is, as you said, rightly so, it is a wonderful town with a fierce buzz about it. I mean, even November, you could come here and there's something on, you know.
Yeah.
Pubs, music,
absolutely.
7 nights a week,
the best
of restaurants, the choice. We are truly blessed. And of course, the beauty of the place. But the buzz is gone, Ger, for the moment.
It is.
But please God, you know, with the vaccine now, I think we're on the right track. We'll get back to performing and to get out there, you know.
Yeah. Mary, where can people find out more about Mary Cullity O'Sullivan?
Right, well, I'm on Facebook, Mary Colletti O'Sullivan, and I also have my Mary Colletti O'Sullivan Soprano, if anyone would give me a like on my page, because I will be doing live streams. I have one planned for April. So if you go on the page, there will be a live performance and I'll be telling people all about it in April. I'm on Instagram and I'm on everything, Ger. I'm on Twitter as well. At Mary Colletti OS. S for sugar. I'm everywhere.
Indeed you are. And Colletti is spelled C-U-L-L-O-T-Y. Colletti O'Sullivan. Brilliant.
Yes,
Mary, it's been lovely talking to you. You're a bundle of energy and you've got a fantastic voice. That's coming from someone who's tone deaf now. Don't forget.
Thank you. I still appreciate it, Ger. Thank you so much.
So let's take a listen to it and let's play that. Now, this is called Ave Maria, and it's in brackets you've put Caccini.
Caccini, yeah. There's so many Ave Marias out there. This is the Caccini one.
All right. We'll enjoy it. And Mary, thanks a million for talking to us.
Thank you so, so much, Ger. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
does work, doesn't it? Absolutely. That is Mary Cullerty O'Sullivan from Killarney in County Kerry, and her version of the Ave Maria. Thanks to Mary for taking time to talk to me on the programme today. I wish her well, and no doubt we'll hear more from her on the programme as the months and the years progress. I suppose it's appropriate to play the Ave Maria. Here we are in Holy Week. Doesn't seem like it, does it? It does. This whole thing just has everything kind of out of sync and all of that, isn't it? Yeah. Annie got in touch. Hello, Annie. Don't know who Annie is. I agree. I love her voice. So lilting. Hope spelling is right. Thanks. Sure. Yeah, it is. Absolutely right. So, Annie, thanks very much. Good to hear from you. And thank you to Michael as well. Michael didn't like the song I played from the Foster and Allen. Right, Michael. He said, but everything else is okay. Thanks. Appreciate that. Or Max, I think he likes to go by. Anyway, yeah, we'll play more. Play the next track maybe from Foster and Allen you might like. I like to come across stories like I just came across recently. Like this one, a former post office sorting office, on post sorting office maybe in Galway is to be transformed into a civic arts space. And I was trying to rack my brain as to where it was, then you'd hear where it is. Anyway, as part of a planned redevelopment project, which has been initiated by OnPost, which is the company that looks after the mail system here in Ireland. Now, the company said that it is seeking bids to redevelop the large site that it owns in the centre of the city. The parcel of land includes the main post office on Eglinton Street and a number of linked buildings backing onto William Street, and there's a significant area in that. OnPost has loaned the former sorting office to the Galway International Arts Festival over recent years. The space has been successfully repurposed for exhibitions by the Tolka Visual Arts Festival as well. Events like those led to calls from cultural organisations and local politicians that the site be handed over to the city for use as a municipal multi-use venue. OnPost said that under the terms of the plan announced a couple of days ago, a block of land will be opened up for redevelopment. Tenders are currently being sought for the work to be undertaken. That is jolly good news, and we wish everybody in Galway the very best of luck with that one. No doubt it's going to be fantastic. Talking of fantastic, Patricia Traynor is going to be joining us very shortly to tell us a story about a man that is widely celebrated in Uruguay, continuing the couple of stories that we've had from Patricia about Irish people who've had a big and positive impact on Latin America.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
I meant to say at the top of the programme, you won't be hearing that piano roll from the Boomtown Rats as an introduction to the programme anymore, because we're changing the sound and we're changing the intro. Yeah, and you won't be hearing that little sting that you hear before and after the ads anymore either. However, I am keeping Pat Costello's voice in there, the man that does the Ger Sweeney Live on Air a bit, as a tribute to him, because Pat passed away tomorrow, in fact, is his first anniversary. But I'm not kind of ready to give away the voice just yet, if you know what I mean. So we'll be retaining Pat Costello's voice, brilliant as it is, and changing the music and the intros and things like that. So anyway, that's all in line with the fact that we're moving to 7 p.m. from next week on, and the programme will be extended by 1 hour. So it'll be 2 hours of Live on Air every Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to the extended programme. We'll probably be able to get a whole lot more in. A family-run business that we have mentioned before on the program has made the news. It's a distillery. It's become the first in Ireland to win an award for the best new make whiskey in the world. Wow. County Meath based Bowan won the accolade in the World Whiskies Award for its single pot still newborn spirit. The new win comes just weeks after it won 6 prizes in the national category of the same awards. Now, Bowan founder Pat Cooney said that the distillery merges the old ways of whiskey production in copper pot stills with cutting edge 21st century nanotechnology. Bowan employs just over 20 people at its 20 million euro plant just outside Drogheda, with plans underway to open a new visitor centre and roll out a new gin and silks named after the nearby Bellewstown races. That's fascinating. Last month, Bowan unveiled a collection of long-lost Irish whiskey recipes unearthed by a historian, Fionnán O'Connor, and we had an extended interview with Fionnán on the programme, if you recall, about that. Casks were produced using ingredients or mash bills, as they call them, dating back to the 1800s, and you find that on podcast if you want. Put in Jer Sweeney whiskey interview, and you should be able to find that. All right, if you missed it and really want it, let me know, and I'll point you in the right direction. Okay, Patricia Traynor joins us regularly on the programme. She always brings with her a good story, and a number of weeks ago she started a number of stories, or a series of stories, about Irishmen who have travelled and have become fairly important figures down through the years in Latin America, and today is no different. So, over to Patricia.
Well, hello, Ger. Today, guess what? Today, I'm continuing with Irishmen who not only made a name for themselves, but who were in fact heroes and were the founding fathers of the navies of countries in South America. Well, today it's Thomas Charles Wright, and he was a founding father of the Navy of Ecuador. It seems unbelievable, but he is the third Irishman to be a founding father of a navy in a Latin American country. Well, his name may not ring a bell, but if you go to Drogheda in Ireland, you will see a 6-foot marble memorial to him. You can also visit the Millmount Museum there and see a model of his first ship beside a hand-embroidered Ecuadorian flag. In fact, in 2011, the Thomas Charles Wright Centre was opened in Merchants Quay in Drogheda. So, who was he? Well, he was born in Queensborough, Drogheda, in 1799. When he was 11, he was sent to the Royal Naval College at Portsmouth to study to become an officer. Although he did pass the lieutenant's examination, he was without a commission. And so in 1817, he decided to enlist in Simon Bolivar's Revolutionary Army. He was under the command of Colonel Campbell in what was called the Rifles Corps, which was an Irish-English regiment. Now, adapting to the hot, humid climate for people from this part of the world must have been very difficult, as was the risk of catching yellow fever. Yet many hundreds of Irishmen went to join in the revolutionary struggles in Latin America. Wright first met Simón Bolívar at Angostura. He joined him on what must have been an excruciatingly long and difficult march over the Andes, during which 25% of the British Irish troops died. Wright fought with Bolivar's army in many battles against the Spanish, but it was after the victory at Boyacao in 1819 that he was promoted to captain. Bolivar took note of Wright's exceptional skill and courage, and soon he was again promoted in 1823 to lieutenant colonel. He moved up through the ranks and took part in the revolutionary independence struggles against the Spanish, and then again later in the civil wars. Wright was captain of the port of Guayaquil when the Peruvian ship Libertad sailed into the port in an attempt to blockade the city. Now, Wright was an expert in the Gulf's currents, and so he managed to drive the Peruvian ship back. In 1835, he was commander-in-chief and first admiral of the Navy and went down in history as the founding father of the Ecuadorian Navy. Later, in a brief civil war, Wright defended the liberal candidate Vicente Rocafuerte in a struggle for the presidency of the country. Actually, Rocafuerte was his wife's uncle. Wright was made governor for Guayaquil in 1843. But 2 years later, there was a military coup which overthrew the liberal government supported by Wright, and he went into exile, first spending 10 years in Chile and then a further 5 years in Peru. He finally returned to Ecuador in 1860, and he died in Guayaquil in 1868. He had fought bravely for Ecuador, and today he is regarded as a national hero. The Naval College of the Ecuadorian Navy is named after him, Admiral Wright, and there is a high school in Guayaquil which also bears his name. Postage stamps have been issued in his honour in 1972 and 1999. There are busts and statues of him in Ecuador and, of course, in Drogheda in Ireland. In 2019, the Thomas Charles Wright Centre opened at Merchants Quay in Drogheda. The centre is home to Ely English Language College, and there is a Thomas Charles Wright Scholarship Programme in the Naval College of Ecuador, which awards a prize each year to the top two students graduating from the Admiral Wright Naval College, which permits them to spend 8 weeks in Drogheda learning English. There's no doubt that Thomas Charles Wright from Drogheda played an important role in Ecuador, and so yet another Latin American country treasures its link with Ireland.
Ah, world domination. World domination. Patricia, thank you very much indeed. Really enjoyed that story. And a reminder, if you would like to catch up on all of the stories that Patricia Traynor has contributed to Live on Era, we set up a little podcast of all of the stories. There's just about 30 of them there at the moment. That one will be there tomorrow, but all of the ones. And it's gathered huge traction. There's hundreds. There's almost 1,000 people have listened to those over the last, 4 weeks, I think, 4 to 5 weeks. So thank you very much to everybody who has done that. If you look at wherever you get your podcasts, you will find it. Patricia Traynor, that's all you need to search for, T-R-A-I-N-O-R. Or you can search for stories of and about Ireland. So that is where you'll find those. And so as I said, that story will join them tomorrow morning at some stage. I'll get a chance to put those up. All right. Now, here's a little story. Firefighters in Northern Ireland have rescued two missing lambs that were found down a disused mineshaft. The lambs, which had been missing for 3 days, were retrieved from the 12-metre shaft on farmland, I was going to say family, farmland near Ballymena in County Antrim last Friday. A specialist crew from the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service worked with colleagues from Ballymoney Fire Station at a farm on the Cushendall Road for access to the shaft using gas monitors and rope rescue equipment. A spokesperson for the Northern Ireland Fire Rescue Service said that the lambs were in a distressed state, I can imagine, when a firefighter reached them. He said that they had been returned to the grateful owner. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service would like to thank the lambs' owners for showing restraint, not entering the mineshaft without proper equipment, and calling the emergency services to perform the rescue, he said. He also added that we would like to thank and remind the public of the dangers of entering disused mines or subsurface work areas, and advise people never to enter such locations. Sound advice indeed from the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Let's have some music, shall we? We haven't had a song. Oh, sorry. Speaking of music, Annie was back to me again on the WhatsApp, and she wanted to know what the name of the song was that I played after Mary's interview. It was Mary Cullity O'Sullivan herself singing her arrangement of Ave Maria. And you can find that on YouTube. I know you can if you just go onto YouTube and look for Mary Cullity O'Sullivan, C-U-L-L-O-T-Y O'Sullivan. You will find it there. All right. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. And he obviously liked it. So there you have it. Right. Okay. Music. I did say I'll play the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1966. So let us do that now. A folk group called the Ludlows were at the top of the charts with this song.
They say that the lakes of Killarney are fair. No stream like the Liffey could ever compare. If it's water you want, you'll find nothing so rare as the stuff that's made down by the ocean. The sea, oh, the sea is Grog Yalmacree. Long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water. Tom Moore made his waters meet fame and a great lover of anything dressed in a crown. With brandy the bandy of Saxon he'd drown and throw ne'er a drop in the ocean. The sea, oh the sea, is Frog Yalmacree. Long may it roll between England and me. It's
a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water.
Now the Scots have their whiskey, the Welsh have their leeks, their poets are paid about tenpence a week. Provided no harsh words on England they speak.
Oh Lord, what a price for devotion. The sea, oh the seas, rock and creek, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water. Sense they drown both in the wine and partition throw into the ocean. The sea, oh the seas, grog and creek, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water.
Now the Danes came to Ireland with nothing to do but dream of the plunder. Irish they slew.
Well, you will in your Vikings, says Brian Boru, and he threw them back into the ocean. The sea, oh, the seas, grog and creek, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water. The sea, oh, the seas, grog and sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water.
The Ludlows that were at number one on this day back in 1966 in Ireland. The sea all around us, or the sea around us is what it's called. I will take a very quick break right now. Come back to me just after that. I'm going to try and squeeze two more pieces of music in.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Right, into the final part of the programme, the final minutes of the programme. Before I take the first of the two tracks, I want to squeeze in a plaque to the memory of the Irish woman who shot Italian fascist leader Benito Mussolini, has been formally approved by a Dublin City Council committee. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I was filling in for either Dave or Selena or Giles in one of the programmes. I mentioned that it was being discussed. Anyway, the memorial of our two Violet Gibson will be erected at 12 Merrion Square in Dublin, which was her childhood home. The motion, which was proposed by independent councillor Mannix Flynn, was passed by the Commemoration and Naming Committee. Miss Gibson, who came from a privileged Anglo-Irish background, attempted to shoot the Italian leader in 1926. Now, Mussolini was reported to have moved his head at the last moment, and the first shot grazed his nose while the second misfired. Police had to save Miss Gibson from being killed by the crowd, and she was deported to England, and an act for which the government is said to have thanked Mussolini, I bet. However, then aged 50, she was detained in a psychiatric hospital for the remainder of her life, and she died in 1956, is buried in the UK. Now, the owners, I suppose ironically, of number 12 Merrion Square now, which is in the possession of the British real estate company Westhill, will have to give consent for the plaque to be put on the building. It could also be placed on an adjoining property if that permission is not forthcoming, said the council. An Irish solution to an Irish problem. There's always one, isn't there? Absolutely. Right, let's take a quick piece of music. Here is Gary Moore. He was born in Belfast on the 4th of April, so next Sunday we commemorate his birthday, and I thought it'd be nice just to play something different on the programme. Here he is, the wonderful Gary Moore with Parisian Walkways.
Thank you. Saint-Tropez, Saint-Michel and old Beaujolais wine. And I recall that you were mine.
Just lovely. Now, I'm going, for those of you who are fans of Foster and Allen, I'm going to be in trouble because I'm not going to be able to play a second track from them. To do that, I would have had to play half of that song and half of the Foster and Allen song, and I didn't think it was fair to do that to either. I played Gary Moore because he will, or we will be remembering him next Sunday, the 4th of April. He was born on that date. In Belfast. What year was he born? I have it somewhere. 1952. Yep, he was born. And of course, you heard the dulcet tones of Thin Lizzy frontman Philip Lynott, or Lynott, in there as well on that track. And I think that track, back around 1985, it kind of brought a row and a feud between the two of them to a close, and there was great celebrations about that and so on. Right, that is it. That is my lot for today. We have been in this particular slot only for a couple of months, the Wednesday between 6 and 7, but we've been doing 6 to 7 for almost 3 years now. Next week, it's going to change. All right, next week, next Wednesday, Live on Air will be heard from then on between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. That's Central European time. So if you happen to be in Ireland, that's between 6 and 8, and it will be for the 2 hours, as I said. Looking forward to that. Thank you to Mary Connerty O'Sullivan. Thank you to Patricia Traynor, and thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor. He tells me only to call him Antonio Sierra from now on. So thank you to Antonio Sierra for all the work he does on the program. I'm looking forward to your company next week on the program. Do please join me if you can between 7 and 9, and have yourselves a great Easter. Look after yourselves and each other.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.